verse 218.
يسألونك عن الشهر الحرام قتال فيه قل قتال فيه كبير وصد عن سبيل الله وكفر به والمسجد الحرام وإخراج أهله منه أكبر عند الله والفتنة أكبر من القتل ولا يزالون يقاتلونكم حتى يردوكم عن دينكم إن استطاعوا ومن يرتدد منكم عن دينه فيمت وهو كافر فأولئك حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
They ask thee about fighting in the sacred month. Say, fighting therein is a heinous thing. But to hinder men from the way of Allah and to be ungrateful to Him and to hinder men from the sacred mosque and to turn out its people therefrom is more heinous in the sight of Allah. And persecution is worse than killing. And they will not cease fighting you until they turn you back from your faith, if they can. And whoso from among you turns back from his faith and dies while he is a disbeliever, it is they whose works shall be vain in this world and the next. These are the inmates of the fire, and therein shall they abide. Footnote 260. The believers were told that if disbelievers violated the sanctity of the sacred months, they should not hesitate to punish them in the sacred months. For thus alone could the sanctity of a sacred thing be safeguarded. Chapter 2, verse 195. Commentators generally state, and in fact there are also traditions to this effect, that on one occasion the Holy Prophet sent Abdullah bin Jahash to bring news about a party of the Quraysh proceeding to Mecca. When Abdullah and his companions reached a place called Nakhla, they met a small party. Abdullah attacked the party, killing one of them and capturing two. The date on which this happened was doubtful, some considering it to be one within the sacred month and others not. The news reached Mecca. The Quraysh took advantage of the doubt and protested that the Muslims had violated the sacred month. The verse under comment was revealed on that occasion.
Verse 219. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
Those who believe and those who emigrate and strive hard in the cause of Allah, it is these who hope for Allah's mercy. And Allah is most forgiving, merciful.
Verse 220.
يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفُوَ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ
They ask thee concerning wine and games of chance. Say, in both there is great sin and harm. and also some advantages for men. But their sin and harm are greater than their advantage. And they ask thee what they should spend. Say, spend what you can spare. Thus does Allah make His commandments clear to you, that you may reflect. Footnote 261. Khamaru Shay'a means he veiled or covered up or concealed the thing. Wine is called khamr because it covers or obscures or affects the intellect or the senses, or because it agitates and excites the brain so as to make it lose its power of control. The word is specifically used for wine prepared from grapes, but signifies all intoxicants. Lane. Alcoholism is an important factor in the causation of disease, and in all diseases, alcoholics are bad patients. In epidemics, the mortality among drinkers is excessive, and the general power of resistance to disease, injury, and fatigue is diminished. Alcoholism lessens the chance of life. The English life insurance companies found that the presumptive length of life of non-drinkers was about twice that of drinkers. The close relationship of alcoholism and crime is well known, and the statistics of Bayer, Corella and Gallivardin and Sicart show that from 25 to 85% of all malefactors are drunkards. The evil effects of alcoholism are evident in the drunkard's posterity, epilepsy, insanity, idiocy, and various forms of physical, mental, and moral degeneracy are very disproportionately prevalent among the offsprings of alcoholics. Jewish Encyclopedia. The effects of consumption of alcohol are almost all due to its action upon the nervous system. In the advanced stage of drunkenness, the intellectual processes of judgment and control are suspended. Encyclopedia Britannica. There is universal testimony as to the close relationship between excessive drinking and breaches of the moral law and the law of the state. This is a direct consequence of the paralysis of the higher faculties, intellectual and moral, and the resulting free play given to the lower inclinations. Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics. Footnote 262. Aysar al-Rajulu means man became well off. Maysar is so called because the gambler seeks to become rich quickly and easily without undergoing the trouble of earning wealth by hard work. The vicious tendency of gambling has never been called in question. It is essentially antisocial. It sears the sympathies, cultivates hard egoism, and so produces a general deterioration of character. It is a habit intrinsically savage. Its motive is carefully disguised covetousness. It is an attempt to get property without paying the price for it. It is a violation of the law of equivalence. It is a kind of robbery by mutual agreement, just as dueling, which is murder by mutual agreement. It is begotten of covetousness. It leads to idleness. It is, moreover, an appeal to chance. To make chance the arbiter of conduct is to subvert the moral order and stability of life. It concentrates attention upon lucre and thereby withdraws attention from worthier objects of life. Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics. Footnote 263. Ithm means sin, punishment of sin, the harm that might result from sin. Lane. Footnote 264. It is characteristic of Islam that it never condemns a thing wholesale, but freely and frankly admits even the smallest good that may be found in it. Islam prohibits certain things, not because it considers them to be devoid of all good, for there is nothing in the world which is wholly bad, but because their evil outweighs their good. While prohibiting the use of intoxicants and games of chance because of their great harm, Islam has not failed to acknowledge the few advantages they possess. Footnote 265. Afav means A. What exceeds or remains over and above one's requirements, and the spending of what does not cause hardship to the giver. B. The best portion of a thing. And C. Giving without being asked. Akrab. Ordinary believers are required to spend what remains after their own legitimate needs have been met, and the higher class of believers are expected to spend the best portion of their possessions. If, however, the clause be applied collectively to all believers, it would mean that in times of war they should retain for themselves only such portion of their possessions as may suffice to meet their bare necessities of life. Verse 221.
في الدنيا والآخرة ويسألونك عن اليتامى قل إصلاح لهم خير وإن تخالطوهم فإخوانكم والله يعلم المفسد من المصلح ولو شاء الله لأعنتكم إن الله عزيز حكيم.
Upon this world and the next, and they ask thee concerning the orphans. Say, promotion of their welfare is an act of great goodness. And if you intermix with them, they are your brethren. And Allah knows him who seeks to make mischief apart from him who seeks to promote the welfare of the orphans. And if Allah had so willed, he would have put you to hardship. Surely, Allah is mighty and wise. Footnote 266. The bringing up of orphans is a very delicate affair, and also an important social duty. Orphans should be brought up in a manner most conducive to their physical, moral, and spiritual welfare. They should be treated as members of the family, the exhortation being contained in the words, "They are your brethren." Verse
222. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ وَلَأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا تُنْكِحُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ أُولَئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ.
And marry not idolatrous women until they believe. Even a believing bondwoman is better than an idolatress, although she may please you. And give not believing women in marriage to idolaters until they believe. Even a believing slave is better than an idolater, although he may please you. These call to the fire, but Allah calls to heaven and to forgiveness by his will. And he makes his signs clear to the people that they may remember. Footnote 267. The question of marriage with idolatrous women is intimately connected with the subject of war, for it is during war that, being away from their homes for a considerable time, believers are liable to be tempted to contract marriages with such women. This the Quran positively prohibits, as also the giving of believing women in marriage to idolatrous men. The prohibition is based on religious as well as on moral and social grounds. An idolatrous husband is bound to exercise an extremely baneful influence, not only on his wife, but also on the children born of this union. And an idolatrous wife is sure to ruin the upbringing of the offspring. Moreover, when a believing man has an idolatrous wife or vice versa, their ideas, beliefs, and outlook on life being widely different, there can possibly exist no harmony or concord between the two, and consequently no peace in the family. In Islam, slavery carries no stigma of inferiority, and a Muslim bondwoman would in every respect be a better spouse for a Muslim freeman than an idolatrous, and vice versa. Slaves commanded great respect in Muslim society for their faith and righteousness. Bilal, Salman, and Salim, very respected companions of the Holy Prophet, were all freed slaves.